So today you get a twofer. Not one, but two messages. Uh-oh, it's going to be a long morning. No, actually each one is about half the normal length, so don't panic. Don't panic. The passage that I wanted to use in John 14 had two really different focuses. And so I wanted to split the songs, and Judy and I worked out which songs would go with the first part, which ones go with the second part. So you've got a couple more songs to look forward to when we get to message two. So the last message that I preached was from John 12. And do you remember the activity we did last week? I'm not asking if you remember the sermon. We planted seeds. Good. Andrea remembers. This is good. And I'm here to tell you, to give testimony, that they have sprouted and they are this tall. I have never used grow lights before. I am a fan. I'm going, whoa, I looked in there this morning and they're just these plants everywhere. It's just amazing. So God is blessing our seeds. That's a good thing. I love that illustration. We talked about the seed dying to produce fruit, and that we're called to do the same, that we're to die to ourselves to become who Christ created us to be. Now, in between John 12 and John 14 is John 13. So I want you to know, I'm not totally skipping it. We're going to deal with John 13 on Good Friday, interestingly. We're going to do some activities to go with that passage. But for today, we're going to look at John 14. And these verses that Will read are familiar to most of us, and especially to those who were here yesterday for Mandy's service. It was planned a long time ago. It wasn't supposed to go together like this. But whenever I do a funeral service, I will use those words because they bring huge comfort when Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. And he brings comfort to his disciples because he knows that very shortly he's going to be gone. Doubting Thomas is my favorite part in the whole passage because it gives us permission to doubt and to be clueless. To say, we don't know where you're going, Lord. How do we know the way? And then Jesus speaks those words that are so important that we just said in our song over and over and over. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That verse counters the belief that is growing in our country. That says Jesus isn't the only way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That watering down of the gospel is one reason I left the Presbyterian denomination, because they were kind of going that way. And I said, no, I will not serve in a denomination that doesn't claim the words of Jesus Christ. How do we get to the Father? We pray to Jesus, and we accept Him. We confess our sins, and we accept Him as Lord and Savior. I looked up the words, the way, the truth, and the life, because I thought maybe there'd be some new stuff. So the way, interestingly, the first thing in the Greek dictionary said the highway. I like that. It's like the Autobahn, right? You say the prayer, whoosh, there you go. You've got a highway. And you know what? I was thinking, where did I hear the phrase highway to heaven? And I'm thinking it must have been a song. No, it was a TV show. Yeah, the song is something else. If you know that song, it's a highway to the other place. So the way means a journey. And only when we travel with Jesus do we arrive and an eternity with him. The truth, Vine's Expository Dictionary says, the meaning is not merely ethical truth, but truth in all its fullness and scope as embodied in Jesus Christ. He is and was the perfect expression of what truth is. And when Pilate is questioning Jesus, you remember this part? Pilate questions him in front of the people. And Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And what does Pilate say? Famous question. What is truth? And it's interesting because the word that's used is he retorted. He was cynical. What's truth? What kind of truth are you talking about? Just like people today scoff at the idea that Jesus is the only way. The life? Same dictionary. Life as a principle. Life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. And which he gave to Jesus, and which Jesus showed to us. To have a life that's real and genuine, active and vigorous, devoted to God and blessed. Those are the definitions that I found when I searched. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Other translations, you've heard this, have it abundantly. We're on a journey with Christ. We're on a highway to eternity. And he is the only truth in this world. He is the only constant in this world. We're meant to have a full, active life living for him. And why do we settle for so much less? Because so often we do. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, to steal our joy, to kill our dreams, destroy our faith, and to destroy our effectiveness in living that life. Don't let Satan do that. Don't let him. Even when things seem their darkest, find the joy in the knowledge that Jesus is there and he will never, ever leave you. There was a saying that was sent to me that I want to leave with you with this part of the message. Listen to these words. I claim them. I want to live life in such a way that when my feet hit the floor first thing in the morning, Satan says, "Oh no, she's up." I challenge you to live so that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, Satan says, "Oh no, they're up." Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you for the truth that is in this passage. Thank you for the comfort that is in the passage. Lord, that we walk with you no matter the difficulty, no matter the joy. We walk with you. Help us to walk with purpose. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.